This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Baba Ali Show, Episode 1. Don't let your critics be your CEOs.
This podcast has been brought to you by HalfOurDeen.com, a Muslim marriage website designed for those who want to find their other half privately. Because the only people that should know you're looking to get married are people who are looking to get married. Try HalfOurDeen today.
In today's show, we have a special guest, actor, comedian, director, and the man behind Halaliwood Productions. Yes, it's Omar Reagan himself. He's going to be joining us to discuss what it's like to be a Muslim comedian and what it takes to entertain Muslims. Plus, we're going to talk to him about this upcoming film, American Sharia, and what kind of drama comes with making such a film. Stay tuned. This is going to be an interesting show. Trust me, you don't want to miss this one.
Muslims have confused the masses, and speakers are forced to be politically correct. Rises one man, one voice, who changed everything.
Hey man, why are you all serious? This is just a podcast.
Let's talk about what they don't want to talk about.
Welcome to the Baba Ali Show. I am your host, Baba Ali. Wow, what a way to kick off a podcast. For those who are not familiar with my style, I don't generally talk about the same subjects that other Muslims do. In fact, I pick topics that are often taboo within the Muslim world. It's those subjects that everyone is thinking about, but nobody's talking about. It's the big, huge elephant in the room that everyone is conveniently ignoring. So let me give you some background about myself. I am a Muslim living in America, which makes me a Muslim American. So back in 2006, I started this video blog series on YouTube called The Reminder Series, and it became really, really popular. In fact, I never knew it's going to become popular. I tell people if I thought people were going to be watching this, I'd actually dress nicer. If you watch the old videos, it looks like I'm in my sleeping clothes because I am in my sleeping clothes. So the videos originally were sent just to a few friends, and those friends sent to some more friends to send some more friends. So a few hundred became a few thousand, became like 14 million video views, which was like huge back in those days. Today, because YouTube's popularity, millions of views is no big deal. But back then, when YouTube wasn't that popular, it was a huge deal. So because of that, that led me to get invites to go perform. And I did live performances, I think nearly 200 shows all around the world, as audiences as big as 40,000 people. Yes, in one indoor arena, 40,000 people. And then the following week after that, I think I did like an audience about 25 people. So what's made this project very, very interesting for me is that this whole adventure of being Baba Ali has allowed me to meet a lot of cool people. Even like the comedian side of things, there's only a handful of people that know how to do stand-up comedy for Muslims and get paid to do it. It's not something that's easy at all. Can you just imagine taking a bunch of people in a room? Oftentimes, they don't never even heard of comedy. Some of them don't even know you're doing comedy, and then trying to make them laugh. And this is a culture where they say, please, 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 brothers, respect the man he is speaking. Don't, and then laughing could be very inappropriate. You know, it could be insulting. So they're trained not to laugh, and you're trying to make them laugh. And the acoustics of the rooms are usually really kind of messed up. The people are like sitting really far away from you in round tables, exact opposite setup of what a comedy club would look like. Sometimes no one's paying attention. So that even makes it more difficult. But nevertheless, there are a handful of Muslim comedians who are very successful at making people laugh. And one of the people I'm going to bring in today is going to be one of those Muslim comedians that, and he is very similar to myself because he's one of those comedians who really cares about doing things within the boundaries of Islam. You know, sometimes these audiences, they laugh and sometimes they don't. When they laugh, that was great stand-up comedy. When they don't laugh, oh, that was a very nice speech. It's kind of like one of those things. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to bring in our special guest today. And my guest today is from Detroit, Michigan. He started off as a rapper and his group opened up for people like Method Man, Wu-Tang Clan, KRS-One. These were some very famous people in the 90s. In this generation, you're like, who's that? But they were really big back then. In 2001, he played Chris Tucker's double and he ended up doing the Rush Hour films. So he looks a lot like Chris Tucker, especially when he does his impression. He has his impression down to a science, right? So much so that it's like the rumor went around saying that Chris Tucker became Muslim is because Omar Reagan, the guest today, he's Muslim. So they think Omar is Chris and Chris is Omar. So it's like, They're two different people. Anyways, shortly after, he started doing some stand-up comedy and he found himself on the main stage of the Comedy Store. And from there, he decided to say, okay, I want to start doing some halal comedy. I don't want to do like the mainstream comedy more because he felt more religious. And he says, I want to do things the right way. And, you know, when he was doing the things, we'll have him share his story, but his career really, really went huge after he decided to do things the right way. And he's been traveling all around the world. In fact, I think he's traveling, going to be traveling this upcoming week, but he's been in England, Ireland, Scotland, South Africa, Australia, China, Malaysia, Zimbabwe, Saudi Arabia, Dubai. Yes, I said Zimbabwe. They do comedy in Zimbabwe. Bro, they do comedy, I think, everywhere. And Muslim humor is there. It's just a very new thing for a lot of people. He ended up doing a bunch of films and something happened. He decided to start Halalywood Productions. And this is something brand new for him. He wanted, it's the same way he took comedy and tried to do things within the boundaries of Islam. He's trying to do the same thing within the film industry. So he went to the film industry. He realizes there's a lot of corruption within it. And not corruption, but there's a lot of the direction they want to do things is very different than what his own values are. So he wanted to do things his way. And so he figured the only way to do that is to start his own production company. And his first film, which is called American Sharia, is just around the corner and it's going to be available for people to watch. So with all that said, this is Baba Ali's show and this is our guest, Omar Reagan. So without any further ado, let's have our guest. Omar Reagan, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam, Baba Ali. How you doing, man?
Alhamdulillah, man. I'm really proud to have you as my guest. And you said yes, which is really, really cool.
Man, I'm happy that you called me to be your guest, man. It make me feel special. Mashallah.
Bro, tell me, you stand on stage, you say some funny stuff, people laugh, and you get paid for it. Tell me how cool that is.
Man, I'm grateful, man. That's like... Hey, but you know, you got to think about the days when they don't laugh.
So tell me, sometimes they don't laugh, and that's happened to me many times. Tell me, do you remember any specific, you don't have to say where it was, but any type of specific show that people didn't laugh?
Yeah. You know,
tell me about it.
I had several of them.
Bro, you know what? I'll share my first story.
Okay.
Okay, so you can share your story if you like as well. I was invited to do a show for a friend, and it wasn't really a show. He was getting married. He said, I'm a doctor. My wife is a doctor. My dad is a doctor. And a lot of the people at our wedding are going to be doctors. This was going to be a wedding thing. And I told him, listen, bro, I don't do weddings. People don't really listen to people who are speaking at weddings, especially comedy. And this is why it sounds like a good idea, but it's not a good idea. And he's like, no, bro, please. I never ask you for a favor. This is the only favor I'm asking you. I know you for 15 years, way before your Baba Ali. Please, this is the only favor I'm asking you. I'm like, okay, fine. And I agreed to it and I went there and I realized that it was really, really like a standard wedding where everyone was like really, really serious. It was like more of an Indian Pakistani wedding.
Right.
And right before I got up, the father, which was a doctor, got up and said, before the next speaker, I would like to thank a few people who've come tonight. And he said, Dr. Khan, thank you very much for coming. And Dr. Khan would say, oh, yes. And, you know, they do that like wave and Dr. So-and-so. And then that person would be saying fantastic. And then they would be clapping and the next person, Dr. So-and-so, they would clap and the doctor. And then they said doctor so many times. I realized like most of the people at the wedding were doctors. And I was like one of the few that was not a doctor. And right there, I thought something very funny to say. I said, this is going to be so funny that the rest of my jokes are going to be fantastic. I got up on stage. I say, with all the doctors that are here, who's at the hospital? Yeah, bro, they weren't laughing. They're looking at each other and wondering who's at the hospital. And I'm like, whoa, do you think I'm the announcement guy? Like the guy who gives announcements after Jummah that no one's paying attention to? And then they stopped paying attention to me, I guess, and then no one was laughing. It got to the point that my daughter walked up to me, and I think she was at that time, she was about 5 years old. She walks up to me, she pulls like my pants and says, Baba. I'm like, what? Let's Who are you go. Talking to?
Oh no.
I'm like, I'm being heckled by a 5 year old. And right there it hit me. I'm like, dude, she's my ticket out of here. I'm like, what? Oh, you know what, guys? It looks like my daughter needs me. I have to go. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great night.
Right.
I exited. And woo! That was like the last wedding I ever did.
I did a wedding too, but I was I was so much into my head, like I didn't know what to talk about. I got maybe only 3 laughs at a wedding. And the other one, I got invited to the Guyanese event, and they're all Muslim, but I didn't know any Guyanese. Oh man, we looked the same, but we had totally different cultures, man. And it just was, they was like, what are you talking about? Ha ha ha. I was like, wow, this is the time when I had all these Arab jokes.
Oh man, man. That's...
We're not Arabs. We don't even really know anymore. Any Arabs. I was like, man, where are the Arabs at in the crowd?
Oh, man.
Where's the Arabs when you need them?
So what happens afterwards? I mean, do you get thick skin after a while and something that you laugh off?
No. It's embarrassing. I'm still thinking about those times. I feel all self-conscious. Even I was just in Chicago and I was all in my head about, oh, I don't want to do the same jokes as I did the last year. And I was like, oh, subhanAllah. So the first joke I told was really funny because it was a joke I just wrote. And everybody laughed. And then the next 2 jokes was not funny at all. And everybody kind of gave me the courtesy, like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Right? And so then I said, maybe they didn't notice. But do you know at the end of the show, at the night, then one of the sisters was like, yeah, I was a little worried about you and your first jokes. But wow, you pulled it together. You pulled it through. I was like, oh. And I like the honesty, but it's almost like a stamp on your forehead, like the expectation that you got to be funny every time. You know, and we try, of course, but subhanAllah, man, we get tested too.
So let me ask you, bro, how hard it is to be a Muslim comedian? Because most people don't have any idea. A comedian is one thing, but a Muslim comedian is a whole different thing. You want to touch upon that a little bit?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, and it's really tough. One, alhamdulillah, I'm really grateful. I mean, and you know this yourself too, that we put Allah first. So we're more concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and us doing our best to be funny.
Yeah.
So that alone is like, it's so different from a comic because they don't really care. They just want to make people laugh. But our focus, we want to make people laugh, but we don't want to displease our Lord at the same time. So,
yeah.
And then the line of making sure that you be honest, that's tough. And then sometimes you just can't find the funny in some things. Or honestly, Ali, like some things is funny that Muslims do. Yeah. Muslims do some funny stuff, but it may come off as extra offensive, you know. And so then, when you have them scholars sitting in the front row, like, oh my God, these scholars are sitting right here and they're looking at you with their arms folded, like,
So for me, bro, sometimes it's not even the scholar. Sometimes it's this one guy who's been dragged into the event that does not want to be there. I think his wife told him, I need someone to drive me. Oh, I don't want to go. Yes, you are going. Fine. And he goes there. His arms are crossed, his legs are crossed, and he's staring at me.
Right.
And I can see the entire audience laughing after a joke, except for that one guy. And I try not to look at him.
Right.
But I keep looking at him. And I look away, but in the corner of my eye, I see him.
It's like the light is on his face.
Yeah, he doesn't go away. He doesn't, and he's locked in, laser focus on me. He does not blinking. He's just looking at me. I'm like, this is such big intimidation. I'm like, oh, man.
And then for some reason, Ali, that guy multiplies.
Oh, and it's, you know, man, it's tough. Sometimes it's we do comedy in a way that no non-Muslim comedian has ever done. I'll give you an example. Well, sometimes you perform and some more conservative crowds will have a divider between the men's side and the women's side. Have you done any of those shows before?
Yes, I do. Let me tell you, this show was so weird. Well, I don't want to cut your train of thought.
No. Go ahead.
But Ali, I was with Maher Zain, was on tour with Maher Zain, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we were in the UK and we're in a place called, I believe it was Sheffield. And they had a barrier up, right?
Yeah.
The brother's side and the sister's side. What was messed up was that the stage was on the sister's side.
Oh.
So it wasn't okay for the brothers to sit with their wives or their daughters or their mothers, but it was okay for these brothers for non-mahram to be standing in front of them to make them laugh. I didn't understand it. It felt so weird. It felt wrong.
Do you know what the hardest part for me is, bro? I'm standing on stage, and the stage, sometimes the divider walks, comes all the way to the top, to the stage. And like, if I take one step this way, the sisters can't see me. If I take one step this way, the brothers can't see me. And I'm always like super paranoid of making eye contact, because for stand-up comedy, you want to like talk to the audience. But like, why are you looking at the sisters too much, brother? And I'm like, no, I'm not looking. I'm just trying to make normal eye contact. And just to, so I'm engaging the people. I don't want to feel like I'm ignoring them. Not out of respect, but like, it's so hard to do it. And just comedy itself. I mean, for you, like, how do you come up with your content?
Well, subhanAllah, usually I've been on this quest of showing the difference between Islam and what Muslims do. And then the things what Muslims do is generally funny, but what Islam is usually warm and loving.
Yes.
So I've been like, I try to come up with ways where I want to, because I'm hard and I can hear my papa in my head, like, you have to be a benefit. You don't want to just do anything. Be a benefit to mankind. And these are the ones who get to get the reward. So I tried to find, how can I re-educate myself and Muslims about Islam and anybody else who's willing to listen? But generally, because my audience is Muslim, I think like they don't even know some of these things. Like the joke that I was writing about hadith and how it means story, those how I was trying to be strategic. And then you only know, Ali, you only know if the joke worked when you say it in front of the crowd, the audience. Yeah. You only know. Yeah, that's the only time you know.
Most people don't understand that. That's another big difference between Muslim comedians and non-Muslim comedians. Non-Muslim comedians, they can go to open mic night. There's no open mic night. Open mic night is when you're doing the event.
Yes, that's
right
true.
There, you're going to find out, hey, that joke I thought was funny, it's not funny. And then people are just staring at you. And then you're like, oh, man, is this going to be downhill from here or not?
I know.
Where's my daughter? Pull my pants again. Where are you? Right. Where are you?
You know how you feel. People don't know when you tell a joke that doesn't work. Do you know what that's like in front of 300, 400, 500 people, let alone if you're at ICNA or anything where it's like 5,000, 6,000 people and everybody's just looking at you like, okay, what else?
That's it. That's the key word. What else? What else you got, brother? That's it? That's it?
Good.
Oh, man, I better get out of here.
Oh, man.
They're looking for the back of the receipt to see if it says no refunds available.
Right. Oh, man. It gets interesting, man. But then on the other side, subhanAllah, it feels so good to see Muslims smile and Muslims laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where we lost that, because, man, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so many hadith where you would see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showing his molar teeth, his back teeth, laughing, where it means his mouth was wide open with laughter.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how the people have lost that. The Muslims have lost that. We've been taught that that's not lawful to laugh. I was even remember when I first started, they were saying that comedy is haram. I had a brother actually say that it's not even funny that he asked me that. He was like, you know why comedy is haram? I was like, why? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do comedy. And I was like, what are you talking about? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported that the Prophet told a joke. He was like, yeah, but he didn't do it for a living. And I said, what do you do for a living? Because the Prophet didn't drive taxi for a living, but all the Muslims driving taxi.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, sometimes you get people with a different frame of thinking, and sometimes it doesn't even really make logical sense. I mean, they think that being more pious is being more rigid. And as if the Prophet was the most pious man ever, therefore he was the most rigid man ever. Not necessarily. There was a time he was serious and there's a time he laughed. But the way he joked was within the boundaries of Islam. And I think that's the part that I think even some Muslim comedians don't get. And yeah. I think we talked at this conversation offline before, where there's a lot of comedians who happen to be Muslim and there's a few Muslims who happen to be comedians. Right. And there's a very big difference between, because you'll see people on television, oh, I think he's Muslim. But then you see his content is like, whoa, really vulgar.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing. It's not easy. And I think that's why we, you and I, if you like our schedules, and I'll give you a quick plug, OmarReagan.com, you can see his, he tours all around the world. And his schedule, you'll see that there's no shortage of events. And the events are not just, okay, right here in Southern California, but it's everywhere. And I mentioned even in the introduction before I brought you on how many places around the world you've been, and you're actually traveling again, right? Where are you going next?
Yeah, man, Ali, subhanAllah. I'm going to South Africa. I leave in a couple of days to do jokes, man. It's a halal cruise. Is that funny?
Wow. See, this is so cool because it shows you that the need is there.
Yes.
But there's not enough Muslims willing to do that halal aspect. They think that if you go towards the halal part, it's no one's going to book you. No one wants that stuff. There's no need for it.
And you know, Ali, that is the one thing that's so humbling to me, because I was so focused on, like, as a youngster, I wanted to be into entertainment. I mean, first of all, for all of the listeners, this thing that's happening today, I've been here already, where everything is haram. And when my mother first took Shahada and I was 5 years old, Islam, it became, who was teaching you Islam? They taught us that everything was haram. They taught us that you isolate yourself from the outside world. They taught us that. And as Muslims, they taught us to be judgmental. People who didn't wear a thobe or didn't wear a beard, or they taught us to be judgmental of all these things when I was little. If it wasn't for my father, subhanAllah, to continuously study the Prophet Muhammad, he can then say, man, this is wrong, man. Like, we isolated ourselves from my aunties, from my grandma, from everybody who was not Muslim inside of the family. We cut ties. A clearly violation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran by saying, don't cut the ties of the family. But subhanAllah, I don't know how we was taught all of this. And as we continue to grow and my father continued to study the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began to re-educate himself, but also us, to say, I was wrong here. You got to do this. I was wrong, and be engaged with the people. How is anybody going to know Islam and the beauty of Islam if you're not around them? And if you're giving them a bad impression of, you know, by always frowning. And so I was like, at that stage, I wanted to be in entertainment because I grew up without, like, I didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot. And it was a lot of us. I had 13 siblings, alhamdulillah. And I was like, wow, I want to do this. So I left Detroit. I went to LA. I was focused on the whole Hollywood thing. They offered me homosexual roles so that I could be a star. I'm really grateful.
Wow, awkward.
And I know, right? They told me, Ali, this is a funny story, but he's like, oh, Omar, you got a character. Come dressed in character. I said, okay. And then they sent a note what the character was. It was a transsexual.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow. And they was like, this is your last chance. We're going to offer you all this money and you don't want to take it, but you're going to be on three shows. The show was called All of Us, Girlfriends. People know them shows back then. And Eve. And they was like, I had a reoccurring role as a down low brother. And I'm grateful Allah blessed me with the strength to say, no, I don't want to do that, even though I needed some money. But I'm grateful. And then they offered me that transsexual role. I'm grateful. Allah bless me. I didn't do that. And then the one role I did accept, I was playing a crackhead in the movie with Kerry Washington. I did accept that role because the guy, he didn't commit to doing all the haram everybody else was doing. So I was like, okay, I can at least do that. And then I did another movie. And it was at the point, man, I made Hajj, alhamdulillah. And I was really confused because I just was like, man, I want to do this, but I don't want to lose myself. And I looked at so many people losing themselves. I looked at all of the other guys that came in dressed in character as transsexuals. I was like, man, it's so bad, so foul. And I'm grateful because after going to the Hajj the second time and they interviewed me on Al Jazeera about the Chris Tucker thing, and I was like, hey, I'm on a Baba Ali show. What we doing? Come on, Baba Ali. Man, you better tune in. Right? And I did the impersonation, and subhanAllah, people started looking for Omar Reagan. They said Omar Reagan took Shahada. I mean, Chris Tucker took Shahada and changed his name to Omar Reagan.
Oh, that's wow. How internet spreads rumors so quickly.
I know it, man. It's crazy. But that's when, subhanAllah, man, I went 100% halal. And then my manager was like, Omar, you're doing the Muslim crowds. That's cool, but you're so funny. You could be the next Chris Rock. I can get you on the Comedy Central. I can get you everything. You just got to be dirty, baby. That's what he told me. And I was like, I'm going to keep doing my Muslim. I don't want to do that. I really want to do this Muslim crowds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazing because of that. He blessed me so much. I'm on my second passport. I've been to subhanAllah, I've been every continent except South America. And I'm like, wow, in some places they call me back. I befriend some of the good Muslims out there that's entertaining, like yourself and Maher Zain and Zain Bika. Do you know these guys that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed to use their talent for good that benefit the people? And then, you know what? Allah is so kind. He gave me this idea. I was fasting this day, alhamdulillah, right? And the idea of Halaliwood. Like, it was, and it, the Halaliwood, subhanAllah, man, these young Muslim students had, I went to an event to do comedy, and they named the show Halaliwood. I was coming, and they was like, yeah, we named it Halaliwood. I was like, hey, can I have that? I got permission. It was like, yeah, khalas. So I was like, cool, because that's my story. I'm leaving Hollywood. I'm going Halaliwood. And so I'm
happy. Tell us what that means. Tell us what Halaliwood means. Like, even your halal comedy, what is, when you do it, when you're saying you're doing a halal, and I'm the same path, bro. When I do my comedy, it's halal. I really do care about it. And you're one of the very few Muslim comedians that I've met that really does care about it. And I think that's one of the reasons we connected. But Tell everybody else, what does halal and Halaliwood and halal comedy mean to you?
I said I want to commit to halal. Halal means that I'm doing no profanity, right? No sex. I'm not about to sell sex, I don't want to be offensive to anybody. I want to respect the honor among creation, and I want to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. I want to have good intentions, so I want to keep it halal. And then even in Halaliwood, it's the same. We're doing movies. We're doing no men and women touching. We're not doing sex. We're not using profanity. And we're not being vulgar. And this is how we want to keep all of our films PG-13, because we do have some violence in the movies. So for standards, this has to be PG-13. But they're always family movies that will cater towards families. And so that's how we do our best to keep everything halal. Haram is... showing men touching all over women, showing, what do you call this, parts exposing the chastity of men and women. We don't even want to get into that to make people see that. Instead, we always want to give da'wah. We want to put a message inside of the films. We have a purpose for the film. Like, the first film is Islamophobia. Our next movie is focused on social change. Our third movie is an interfaith film. Our fourth movie will be a halal romantic comedy. And then the fifth would be an action-packed film.
Wow. So, like, suddenly you have everything, you have it all lined up in your head, mashallah. So let me ask you about this first one that you're working on, since it's a recent thing. You decided to call the film American Sharia. I imagine that when you're calling it, you say, wow, this would actually be probably cause some controversy, especially all those people who watch Fox News and are scared to death of anything of Muslims or in Islam, because we're always portrayed in a very negative way. Yes. And it would probably have caused a bunch of controversy, ruffle some feathers, but you didn't get anything from non-Muslims. But instead, you got all the heat from Muslims. And they didn't get you heat because of the name of the film. They got you heat for two reasons. One is because they watched the trailer, and two, because of calling your company Halaliwood Productions. But the trailer itself, for a lot of people who are not familiar with it, the way this trailer was filmed is very different than most films were filmed. Other trailers were filmed, I mean. So basically, in a nutshell, when a movie is done, they take the movie, they take it to a person, and he cuts out pieces of it and makes it into a trailer. And that trailer is supposed to cause curiosity. It's like a teaser to make people to actually go watch the film without giving the entire film away. But Omar, the way he did it is he basically did the trailer first. So there was no film. There was a trailer first. And Omar already knows beginning to end what the whole entire film is going to be about. But the trailer pieces are supposed to give you enough information to make you give you an idea that this is going to be a very interesting story. So come and watch it to find out what happens. But what happened was
Yep.
You show the trailer and tell us what happened.
Oh my goodness, man. I got a subhanAllah, man. I don't even know how can anybody come to the conclusion of watching a 3-minute trailer. They were like, oh, Muslims was like, they put takfir on me. They call me kafir. They call me mocking Islam. Everything. It was horrible. They had one brother out of the UK who really attempted to shut down my Kickstarter campaign.
Wow.
by having an army of people post his link. Like, this guy went and made a 34-minute video and put it up on YouTube to bash me. And I tried to communicate with him, like, Salaam Alaikum. Like, I thought that, honestly, he was genuinely concerned about Allah and Islam.
Okay.
However, it turns out that he was concerned about Allah and the Prophet, but maybe not in communicating with me.
So what happened when you tried to communicate with
him? I tried to talk to this brother, man, like... on the Facebook, say Salaam Alaikum. You know, I sent him a message, and then he didn't reply. And then
Did you try posting on his Facebook wall?
I tried posting on his Facebook wall. He deleted it.
Okay. No, that's the kind of not very
three
good communication.
Three times, man.
Wow.
So, he deleted it.
The trailer was watched 106,000 times. That's quite a bit for a film that has not been made yet. And for a person to make a 34-minute video rebuttal and breaking down the trailer about what this whole movie's about is very interesting, because they're talking about what the whole movie's about and you haven't even revealed what the movie's about.
I didn't even tell them what it was about yet. That's
because
crazy.
There's no movie made. They were, right. At that time, when the rebuttal video, which was January 24th, he made, there was no film made yet. You right. were doing the opposite. You made a trailer, and now you're going to make the movie.
Right.
And now the movie's actually made. You know, now everyone else is going to see those pieces that they cut up and they dissect and say, oh, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. It was complete nonsense because they took it all out of context.
And they took everything out of context. You know what? SubhanAllah, man, it was messed up, because what I found out was the brother was more, he was, and may Allah bless him, because he was passionate. He was just looking at everything the wrong way. He was passionate about the brothers and sisters over in Syria. So he was saying, in Syria and Gaza, he was saying, why would you donate to make a movie as opposed to donating to help me help the brothers in Syria and Gaza? What he didn't know, subhanAllah, is that I have already done 4 tours that we raised millions of dollars. I'm grateful, by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the aid of the brothers and sisters in Syria and Gaza.
What do you mean by aid? You mean people who are suffering and like
people
that, right?
People who are suffering, the for the need, all of the needy people, the hungry. I'm grateful that that they got the food in that we raised, the bags of rice, and they got it to the refugee camps for the Muslims that were suffering. So I'm really grateful just to be involved in like 3 or 4 different organizations who are consistently raising funds for Syria or Gaza. So I was like, is it not fair for me to be able to do what I want to do too at the same time? Yeah. Am I not supposed to find a way that I can benefit the Muslims with my talent and my skills? Maybe this movie would actually help stop a war. Make people remind them, like, this is my source of da'wah that I want to go out and give. So do I cut myself off? And it was just, you know, I mean, people couldn't really answer that question, you know, because they don't know what you're doing. They don't know everything. But instead, they sit back and they judge and, you know, they make it seem like you're doing something so bad because, oh, you're trying to raise $115,000 for a movie. I'm like, yeah. And the reason why I'm trying to do it for a movie, because the youth today is watching movies, watching TV, and my children watch TV, and all, even the cartoons all have so much haram and insinuating, inviting them to do so much bad things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't like. And it's programming. So I want to benefit my people, first my children, my people, all of the Muslims, and just people in general, with giving them something that's beneficial for them to watch, because everybody's on Insta, all the social media and everything. So we need an alternative. And Ali, the other part is, they always make Muslims the bad guy, and they continuously put this hate and program the minds of the people to hate Muslims and to make it hard for Muslims, and it brings their confidence down. Sisters feel uncomfortable in hijab, and it makes the youth not know what they want to tell people that their name is Muhammad, and instead they say my name is Mo, because they don't want to be associated with Islam. And I want to do my best to do something to uplift the confidence for the youth to say, I am Muslim. I am Muslim. And give them something that they can be happy and they can be proud of.
It's sad that even you mentioned the whole Syria thing. When people say, okay, they're doing a fundraiser for Syria, a non-Muslim maybe listening to this podcast doesn't understand that there's two types of people. You know, there's the people who are, quote unquote, fighting with each other, and there's a war going on between, you know, all the stuff that happens within the Middle East. And then there's 99% of everyone else. And these are the people who just happen to live in Iraq, or happen to live in Syria, or happen to live in Somalia, or whatever part of the world is, that they're just pawns in the whole thing. They don't want war. They don't even care about the politics. All they do is want to take their kids to school. They want an education. They want to live life happily. They don't want to be involved in all this violence. They don't even take sides in the war.
Right.
And then these people are unfortunately just the people who are suffering. And so my hearts go out to all these people out there all around the world, Muslim and non-Muslim, who are just caught in between all these different things. I mean, even from the from the Muslim world, sometimes they see quote unquote America and they say, oh, all Americans have the foreign policy of this, and they believe in this and believe in this. And while reality is, a lot of people from the Middle East may not even know what the average American is like. I mean, you and I both live in America.
Right.
And we're happily living in America. We call ourselves Muslim Americans.
Right.
I think a lot of people don't understand the importance, as you said, of how much of an impact these films make. It was not a coincidence in the 40s and 50s where a lot of the people who are bad guys were Germans, right? And then those Germans eventually became Russians because of the whole Cold War. And then now it's, you see every Muslim is like, he gets a role, he's a terrorist, right? Or the people who are acting like Muslims are terrorists in these films. This is not a coincidence. It's just, we're the bad guys of this generation. And the reality is, there's 5 to 8 million Muslims living in this country. And if really Islam taught us all this bad stuff and we're supposed to be doing these bad things and hurting people, what are 5 to 8 million Muslims doing? Absolutely nothing. And that's because Islam doesn't teach us this stuff. It teaches us to be part of the community, to help, to be contribute, to help the needy. As you said, when you go and do these events, you're raising money for the needy, not just Muslim needy. There's also non-Muslim need that we help, you know? So it's out there. But the problem is, we'll never be able to explain that to the world, because every time they put a microphone in front of a Muslim, it's because he's crazy and he's talking nonsense and he makes great ratings. Right now, this is, I think, is kind of interesting, because you're a Muslim, you're a comedian, you make people laugh, you're making movies.
Right.
In fact, you know what? Let's talk about this for a second. You're a comedian, you're an actor, and now you're a director. Which one's your favorite?
Wow, you know what? It's funny, because I wasn't even supposed to direct this film, but I actually like directing.
Wow.
I like it because I have this this feeling where I like in front of the camera too, because I like to live out something, you know what I mean? An idea. Like, oh, I want to live it out. But to be 100% honest, I don't want to be the only one doing that. I want to see somebody else living out there. Like, I really have wanted Imam Siraj Wahaj or Suhaib Webb to be in the movie, because I know as scholars, sometimes they want to live something else out. And I had this idea that I wanted them to be playing basketball. And because it's Hollywood, right? Oh, like, because it's Hollywood, right? We can show them actually dunking, like, boom, because we would get the trampoline. We would have the mats. Nobody would get hurt, you know, and we'll have a stunt man, and then boom, right? And then we show them dunking in like their kameez and or their thobe. And it was just going to be so funny. But of course, I needed a bigger budget for that. But I don't want to be the only one. I want to direct that, because I feel like that if they're always like, I remember my father, Allah yarhamu, may Allah have mercy on him, that he would like to play too, but everybody would always be asking him so much questions about fiqh, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the Quran and Islam, and you know, that they never really get a chance to live out anything. They just always have to be a scholar and or a sheikh and or an imam, you know, all the time. And the only time they are down is when they're at home you know, but sometimes when they're out, they just want to be regular person. And I was like, man, if I can create that avenue for the scholars where you can be a regular person in a halal environment and I can direct that. Oh, my God, that makes me feel good. Like, alhamdulillah, because I know it'll make you feel good, too, because I know how I feel.
Yeah, so, I'm actually planning to bring, because I'm hoping to bring some different guests here on the show. And I'm planning to bring Muslim scholars who are actually very famous scholars on the show and talk to them about what it feels like when they're not the scholar, when they're just at home and they're chilling. So those are my podcasts. I'm hoping, just like yourself, you know, most of the time they're interviewing you. Oh, tell us about your film and tell us about your last joke. And for me, I'm really happy that you came on board, because I get to listen to, and people get to listen to the guy behind the microphone, the guy behind the jokes. And you're a really interesting person. You know, a lot of people don't know, when we are hanging out, and me and Omar have done many, many shows together, we have more fun off stage.
Oh, man. I promise. Oh, man. Ali, you got those games. Ali will have us up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be making sure. Oh, the games, man, that Ali get. It really makes your brain, like, I never knew about the game world until you brought it to my attention, till you taught me, man. And
so I become the Amir of fun, right? So I'm the Amir of fun. After me and him are done performing, we have so much fun. We just enjoy just being around each other. And this is the part of it, I think, is my favorite part of this whole genre of doing touring, Muslim comedy and stuff like that. I really do enjoy the company that you're around. And this is, I think a lot of people don't really get to experience that. And that's, I think I'm very grateful, alhamdulillah, for being in those shoes. I get to be Baba Ali. I get to meet all the cool people like Omar Reagan and all these other people I've met across the world. It's really, really fun. You know, Omar, I'm going to ask you one more question. I know I've taken up so much of your time. You know, the Halaliwood, even there, you have controversy.
Yeah.
Why do you think the word Halaliwood is starting controversy? Not because of non-Muslims, but because of Muslims.
Well, because Muslims are like, they're really critical of any and everything. Very critical. And I respect that, you know, because they want to make sure that it's, you know, that nobody is just mixing something together, trying to, you know, you have the other side. In the people's defense, you do have a group of people who would mix something together and make it and call it like halal, or call it like Muslim. So, you know, like some slaughterhouses do, and maybe like some comedians that we were talking about earlier, some singers and stuff like that. So they become very critical of passionate to be able to protect it. But at the same time,
well, Omar, let me come in your defense for a moment. A lot of people, they feel that as soon as you say Halaliwood, you're going to be as perfect as an angel. You will not make any mistakes. They forget that you're a human being. You know, when the Quran itself in the second surah, where it says that this book, basically, I'm paraphrasing, that this book is perfect, right? No author in any book will ever say my book is perfect. Why? Because no matter how great the author is, he always like second guesses himself. He always says like, if I could do it again, I'll do it better. This is what I would change. Maybe this was a mistake here. I would have done this different. So human beings, this is the nature of the human being. We, no matter how much we strive for perfection, we're not perfect. In fact, we are, as every religion will tell you, we commit sins and we make mistakes. So if they are expecting for you not to make a mistake in this film and in the future films, this is just craziness. And what's sad is that if you are spending your time dissecting everything this person is doing down to the T and looking for every mistake he does, what does that prove? All it does prove is this person's human being.
Now, and they make the excuse, Ali, that because you're advertising it to the public, yani.
Okay, any speaker is advertising to the public. Every speaker, Muslim, who's giving a speech and his thing is being recorded and it's being broadcast, every khutbah, every Friday prayer that's being broadcast, you want me to sit down and dissect where his errors were, what his words he said wrong, where his. Sometimes even your intention, you are trying to say something, but it can be misunderstood in a different way.
And how many times people get up there every time you make salah or you lead the prayer and you make a mistake in the prayer? Yes. Oh, my God.
The guy who is hafiz will oftentimes forget an ayah. Now, are we looking for the perfect human being? Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the highest level, but he was still a human being. If we were supposed to be perfect, then Allah would have sent angels rather than human beings to be prophets for us. But we were showed by example that sometimes, yes, the human being will get angry. Sometimes they get sad. Sometimes they laugh. And sometimes, you know, they make mistakes. Yeah. And the reality is, no matter what, and this is for all our listeners as well, if you're going to spend your time trying to dissect and say, I want to prove that there is going to be a mistake in this film, and all you're doing is proving that Omar Reagan is a human being. And at the end, you have to ask yourself, is this guy's intention to deceive people, to do propaganda, to hurt Muslims, you know, to show them in a negative light? No, he's not. He's doing one of the very few, he's one of the very few people out there who are actually trying to change the image of Muslims, because every time you flip on the TV, as you said, it's either some negative light of the way they show Muslims. Either he's a terrorist or the girl is being oppressed.
Hey, you know what?
This is not our reality. This is
and the messed up part about it, Ali, is they would rather come after me as opposed to going after Bill Maher, or as opposed to going to talk to, you know what I mean, talk to Fox News. Why don't you go and talk to Bill O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly? Why would you come and attack your own brother? That's unfortunately, like, you see what I'm doing. It's very clear what I'm doing. But you would still rather bash me for me not to do it at all. And these people are on there literally saying that Sharia is hate. Sharia kills, and Islam is a religion of women is oppressed. And they you let people say everything that's so foul. And then you will pick a scene and say, I'm free mixing because I'm in a store where is a Muslim sister. That's crazy, dude.
You know, the scene that Omar's referring to, there's a plea in his character. He's actually speaking to a female. And the way he's speaking to a female is not necessarily the way that we Muslims are supposed to be speaking to the opposite gender. And in Islam, we have rules for everything. So what people did in that trailer, they see that scene. And what they did is say, oh, this is what the film is teaching. And this is the film. They don't understand that you're just taking a scene from a trailer, not from a movie, from a trailer. And then saying, this is what this is going to happen in the film, and this is what happens before, and this is what happens after. This is so ignorant because you can't take things out of context. And for those who do this, you can't be mad at non-Muslims who take a verse out of context from the Quran and say, this is what Muslims believe in. Because this is exactly what you're doing. You're taking a verse out of context and saying, this is what the whole thing's about. While a person who's intelligent, who's enlightened, would read what happens before, would read what happens after, or even consult a scholar or a person who's behind this and find out what this is all about. So at the bare minimum, contact Omar Reagan yourself and say, I saw this scene and I was kind of concerned. What is going on here? Before going out there and putting him on blast and not knowing anything. And I think this is unfortunately the reality of the Muslims, bro.
But that's what Allah says to do in the Quran. He didn't say jump to conclusions. He said, why don't you go and ascertain the truth? And then they talk to everybody except me. They go and get, oh, because this one brother said that's what it is, and he's a scholar to them, then that's what it is. This guy is a bad guy. This guy is a bad guy. This guy is, and then none of him or none of his followers ever did what Allah said and then came and asked me directly. Nobody.
Well, unfortunately, Omar, this is sometimes the problems with the Muslims. It's not just your film. There's a lot of people, they have their own, like, American Sharia. And their project could be poetry or their poetry. Anything sometimes when someone does something new or different, there's 10 people to pull them down. There's 10 people to put negative thoughts in, after him and stuff like that. Unfortunately, this is the reality. There's a lot of people drinking Haterade.
Yeah, they have so much... I wonder if they say Bismillah before you drink that Haterade.
But here, Omar, I'll give you a chance. Give me what message you would send out to all the other people who are trying to do something different within the boundaries of Islam, not just something different, but within the boundaries of Islam. And they are thinking about doing something new and something that's going to help Muslims, but they're worried about all the negative criticism that's going
to
come.
Because I would tell them, you have to, you got to tell you what my father told me. You want to do something? Do you want to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Get up in the middle of the night and pray and ask Allah to guide you and support you in this, in what you're doing. And if it's good, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in it. And if it's not pleasing to Allah, then ask Allah to reframe you or direct you in what you can do that in a way that is pleasing. And then you got to keep moving, and you got to put your earmuffs on or something. And you got to make sure that you keep your intentions and keep renewing your intentions, and then stay focused, man, because Shaitan is real. He'll whisper to the most prominent scholar and they will come and bash you. But no, I won't say that, because anybody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with some good knowledge, that's a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not disrespect you. They won't degrade you. You can always tell who is who by the knowledge that the person is having, by the way they communicate and by the way they talk to you and by the way they offer advice. If anybody just jumps up saying what you're doing is wrong, is haram, and then these people are not following the knowledge that they have. I stand firm on that, because I've been studying the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to never speak from anger and never even to say a word of umph. When he was upset, then his face, you would see it on his face. But that was it, man. Alhamdulillah. And even Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, said that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man, never, 10 years he was around the Prophet. This is amazing. That 10 years, and he said he never said a word of umph to him. And even the Quraysh always loved the Prophet. They were going to kill him, but they loved him. They was only going to kill him because he was bad for business. Like, he was messing up the economy, because he said one God and they were slinging 360 gods. So they was like, hey, but we'll give you the key to the city. We love you, Muhammad, everything about you. But you talking about this one God thing, this is a problem for us. It's going to mess up our money. We trade God. That's what we do. And that was the only problem. Unfortunately, Muslims are so critical on each other and everybody else that they're just miserable individuals, and the knowledge that they have, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn it to be more like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it's always warm, it's always loving, it's always kind, it's always sweet, and that's Islam.
Yes. And in a nutshell, and this is the name of the podcast as well, don't let your critics be your CEOs.
Let your critics be your CEO. Listen to Baba Ali.
All right, Omar, we've taken up so much of your time, and you have really, really shared some amazing, amazing words with us. Jazakallah khair. Want to give you a quick plug. You have your film coming out. Tell us where people can watch it and where we can find you.
Well, alhamdulillah, I'm really grateful. So, look, the film is out in UK. We're going to start in the UK, inshallah. Then we're going to come back and do some things here in the States. Then we go to Australia in May, inshallah. So February the 11th to March the 11th, we're all in the UK doing a 22-city tour. Inshallah, we actually, in the first few days, we're going to have our dear beloved Baba Ali, and maybe you'll hear the live podcast while he's on the tour, which will be amazing. So look for that, inshallah. And then look for it. Stay tuned. Halaliwood.com for screenings here in the States. Halaliwood.com. That's HalaliWood.com. And if you want to find me, I'm at OmarRegan.com, inshallah. Shukran jazilan. Thank you to Baba Ali on the podcast. And don't let your CEOs be your critics.
Fantastic. Okay. Jazakallah khair, everybody, for listening. This is Baba Ali, and this has been the Baba Ali Show. Please make sure to go to BabaAliShow.com. Leave your comments. We want to see what you guys think about this podcast. And that way, hopefully, inshallah, I might actually respond to some of your comments in the future podcast. All right. Jazakallah khair. Omar Reagan. And for everyone listening, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.